The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what a week 3 of football we had. We had some crazy endings to some games yesterday. So many blocked kicks. I mean, there were a bunch of touchdowns yesterday that weren't even offensive touchdowns. They were interceptions, pick sixes, blocked field goals, and then pick them up and run it back for a touchdown. It was one of the craziest days of football I have ever seen in my life. Then, unfortunately, on the flip side, we had some pretty major injuries as well to report on today as well. So let's just get right into week 3 and how it began with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. This was a defensive battle, but the Pittsburgh Steelers were the defense that got it done. The Steelers forced this crazy goal line fumble from Ramondre Stevenson, which really was the turning point of the game, if you will. They had some nice interceptions on Drake May. They had him running for his life. And even so, Drake May still had a very solid day, went 28 for 37, 268 yards and 2 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers had another amazingly efficient day as well. He had a couple of touchdowns himself. And it was really just an all-around battle between two teams, but the Pittsburgh Steelers ended up walking away with the win 21-14. It was just an all-around great day from them on the defensive side of the ball, very efficient day on the offensive side of the ball, and it's kind of looking like Aaron Rodgers really has turned around things, at least up until this point, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially on that offensive side of the ball. And this was the first game, really, of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense where they really got it done. Like I said, they forced a major fumble at the goal line to prevent them from scoring. But then they also got another fumble as well later in the game. They had interceptions. It was just really an all-around excellent day from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then we had the Green Bay Packers at the Cleveland Browns, and this turned out to be one of the most shocking games of the day. The Browns got the win 13-10. This one was also a battle on the defensive side of the ball, as you could tell by a 13-10 score. But the Browns had this insane blocked field goal, and it just was one of the most insane games, and they just went back and forth for a little bit there. It was tied for a little bit there, but the Browns, they ended up getting the walk-off field goal win. You know, their kicker last week, he had a horrific game where he missed extra points. He missed field goals. It was just not a good game for him. Cleveland was basically saying, cut this dude, and he actually had a 50-plus-yard game-winning kick in this one to get the shocking upset win over the Green Bay Packers, whose offense has been electric in the first two games. But this game, they were locked down by this Cleveland Browns defense, and big win for the Browns, 13-10. Then the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. The Indianapolis Colts just keep on rolling in this one. They got the win 41-20. Big game yet again from Daniel Jones, who has not had an interception this season, still remains true after 3 games. He went 18 for 25, 228 yards and a touchdown. But the dude is Jonathan Taylor at running back. This guy, he has been so consistent for so many years. Honestly, the only thing that stops this dude is injuries. He went 102 yards yesterday and 3 touchdowns in a huge win over the Titans for the Colts, who finally had to punt in this one, but big win for them, 41-20. And there's 3-0 on the season. Who would have thought? Then we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Minnesota Vikings, and the Vikings whooped ass in this one, 48-10. Their defense went off. One of their defensive players, he had two forced fumbles. He had a fumble return, I believe, for a touchdown. He had an interception for a touchdown. And he just had an amazing game. But, I mean, really, overall, this Vikings defense completely suffocated the Cincinnati Bengals offense. And Carson Wentz actually held it down on the offensive side of the ball because he had to take over at quarterback in this one. He went 14 for 20, 173 yards, and two touchdowns. So it's just showing that Kevin O'Connell, in this offense, it doesn't matter who plays at quarterback. He's got them locked in and ready to go every game. And then Jordan Mason at the running back position, he had 116 yards and two touchdowns. And then Justin Jefferson added in another 75 yards on the offensive side of the ball. Then another crazy game that went down to the wire, the Los Angeles Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles. This was all Rams all day until the second half. That's where the Eagles just turned it on. I mean, it looked like the Rams were going to absolutely dominate this one, but the Eagles just kept plugging away. They just kept chugging away. The first half, it was no offense at all. But then they got it going. They got the ball to A.J. Brown finally, who finally was able to make some huge plays, finally get in the end zone on this one. And but the big play. The big, big, big play. Because the Eagles were able to finally get the lead in the fourth quarter. But the Rams had plenty of time. They drove down the field. They got into field goal range. They were only down by 1 point. At this point, it was 27 to 26. And you're in field goal range for their field goal kicker, Cardi. He can easily get this one. It's just a matter of, is he going to get it? Well, the Eagles were pushing and prying, and this defense was just getting at the kicker for the most part. I mean, they blocked, I believe it was an extra point earlier in the game, so they knew they could get at this kicker. They were close on a couple of other plays beforehand, and on this final play, the Rams kicked the ball, and boom, it is blocked. Big Fatty picks it up, runs it back for a touchdown, and the Eagles get the win 33-26. Jalen Hurts, amazing game, 21 for 32, 226 yards and three touchdowns. And but, I mean, you look at the Rams, there was nothing bad that they were doing. I will say they did have to settle for a bunch of field goals in the first half, which I think came to bite them back in the ass in the second half of this one. But, I mean, really, just overall, they were pretty much obliterating the Eagles for the most part. The Eagles, like I said, just kept plugging away, kept chugging away, and just ended up getting the win 33-26. Then we had the New York Jets at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This was another crazy one with another crazy blocked field goal that the Jets blocked a field goal, ran it back for a touchdown, and took the lead. They did not have the lead once in this game until that blocked field goal. As a matter of fact, they went off for 21 points in the fourth quarter, which was just crazy. But they left about a minute 38 on the clock. And I was like, sorry, y'all. Baker Ice Cold Mayfield is coming out onto the field. And he's already had two come from behind wins in week one and week two. And if you didn't think he was going to do it in week three, you're stupid. And guess what? Baker Mayfield did it, drove his team right down the field, and they got the win 29-27. Baker Mayfield went 19 for 29, 233 yards, and a touchdown. Bucky Irving on the ground had 66 yards, and Ekbuka, their rookie receiver, had 85 yards. Unfortunately, Mike Evans suffered a hamstring injury in this one, but it does look like they're getting Godwin back in the next game, or at least in two games. They should be getting him back pretty soon here. So Evans goes out. But it looks like this Ekbuka at rookie, the rookie receiver, he might make some waves here because he made some good plays yesterday with Baker. And so we'll see what happens here. But missing out on Mike Evans could be a big deal. But the way I see it is you got Baker motherfucking Mayfield at quarterback. This guy is ice cold, man. This guy is so... I fucking love watching Baker play. I just love it. When the Jets blocked a field goal, ran it back for a touchdown, that usually takes everything out of you. But when I saw they had a minute 38 left, I was like, nah, Baker is back there. I don't care who he's got. I don't care what's happening. He's going to drive him down the field, and whether he gets him in field goal range, whether he gets him a touchdown, he's driving him down the field, and they're going to do it. And that is exactly what they do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this about Baker Mayfield. I think he is one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And if he ended up having Patrick Mahomes' career, like if they switched teams, basically just kind of if they were drafted in different positions, if Baker had been drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't think anything would be different. I think Baker Mayfield would have 3 Super Bowl rings, and he'd be the guy we're talking about in the league. And Patrick Mahomes would still be good, but he wouldn't have the Super Bowl rings. But I feel like if Baker Mayfield wouldn't have been drafted by the Cleveland Browns, and if he would have been drafted by a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, who were already loaded, he had a good coach from the jump, we'd be talking about a lot of different things with Baker Mayfield. That dude is ice cold. He is just an excellent quarterback, and I fucking love watching that dude play quarterback. And like I said, I've said it many, many times, I want to hate Baker. He is an Oklahoma Sooner. I hated watching him play for the Oklahoma Sooners, but I got to say, this dude is a beast. He's a killer. He's a motherfucker. And I love watching him play every single week. And I knew he was coming back. They left way too much time on the clock for that dude. And the Buccaneers are 3-0. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Washington Commanders. And it didn't matter who was at quarterback yesterday for the Commanders. They absolutely obliterated the Raiders. 41-24. It was all Washington all day. Even though Geno Smith actually showed out yesterday, he went 19 for 29, 289 yards and 3 touchdowns. It's just the Commanders were just dominating on offense, on defense. They even had a special teams. I believe it was a punt return or a kick return for touchdown, one of the two. But it was just a big day for the Commanders and an easy win for the Commanders, 41-24. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers, and the Panthers showed out in this one. The Panthers got their first shutout since 2020, 30-0, and they dominated Michael Penix Jr. yesterday. He threw some bad interceptions, 2 pick sixes. It was just straight up domination by the Panthers. Their receivers were making plays, their quarterback was making plays, their running back was making plays, their defense were making plays. It was just all Carolina all day, and the Falcons looked terrible. And I don't know, man. With the Falcons, I wouldn't be shocked if they actually start making some trades here, because I don't really think the Falcons have any future with the rest of the season. So don't be shocked if maybe they end up trading away like a Kyle Pitts or, God forbid, even a Bijan Robinson. I kind of feel like they're trying to build around Robinson and Penix Jr., but at the same time, they ain't going nowhere this season, and games like that show. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. This was a battle between two teams as well. The Texans starting 0-3 on the season. The Jaguars were able to hang on to this one 17-10. Like I said, it was a battle. I mean, the Jaguars came out the gate 7-0. Then it was 7-3. And it was like 10-3. And then it got tied at 10 in the fourth quarter. But the Jaguars were able to make a nice little run here on a game-winning drive. Got the win. Trevor Lawrence had a solid day. Went 20 for 40, 222 yards. ETN Jr., he had 56 yards and a touchdown. And it's been weird with the Texans and their offense. Like I said at the beginning of the season, I felt like the Texans were going to win their division because they had a really solid defense, but I was very concerned with their running game, and I'm even more concerned now about their offensive line. CJ Stroud he's had no time at all this season in the pocket. You look at it, his rookie year, he was phenomenal because he had a lot of weapons and he had time and he had a running back. With a terrible offensive line, no ground attack, and a depleted wide receiving core, he looks terrible. And it's not his fault. It's because he has no time at all in the pocket. And then he's forced to run, and then he's forced to make these terrible passes, which usually end up being interceptions or just incompletions. And this Texans team starting off 0-3 is very surprising. But when you look at how terrible their offensive line is and how they have absolutely no running game, it's a struggle for this Houston Texans team, where you look at it, The Jacksonville Jaguars, it's the exact opposite. They actually lead the league in takeaways right now. So their defense is stout. It's their offense that's kind of, I would say, it looks like they're playing in the mud, where it's very slow. They make some nice plays, but then they just end up getting the field goal. So they've got some work on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively, they actually look pretty good right now. Then we have the Denver Broncos at the Los Angeles Chargers. This was another battle. The Chargers dominated for the majority of the game, but the Broncos made it a battle in the second half. But then the Chargers were able to make the big plays in the end, and they ended up with the win 23-20. Justin Herbert went off 28 for 47, 300 yards, and a touchdown. And that doesn't even do what he did. Those stats don't do him justice with the way he played yesterday. He had a few plays where you're like, how did you make that throw? There was one where, like, he barely just missed a blocked pass. And then when he's throwing it, he barely misses the blocked pass. But the window he's throwing it in, it has to be the most perfect pass you've ever done. And he gets it in for a touchdown. It's just crazy to watch Justin Herbert. Then J.K. Dobbins. He used to play for the Chargers last year. He went off for 83 yards and a touchdown for the Broncos. And then Courtland Sutton also had a great game, 118 yards and a touchdown for the Broncos. It was really just a battle between two really solid teams. But the Chargers were the ones who ended up walking it off. And you gotta say, with this Chargers team, it's only week three. We have a long season to go, and it takes the entire season to actually believe in this Chargers team. But gotta say, they've been hanging on to these type of games, these type of wins. They almost blew it against the Chiefs, but they were able to hold on. They almost blew it in this one, but they were able to hold on. Are we going to see that from the Chargers all season long? I don't know, but it's been pretty impressive to see what they've done so far to start out 3-0. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Seattle Seahawks. This was probably one of the worst games of the day yesterday because it was all Seahawks all day. I mean, the Seahawks had 21 points in the first quarter, 17 points in the second quarter, and they ended up with 44 points total on the day. As a matter of fact, the Saints didn't even score their first touchdown until the fourth quarter, but the Seahawks got the win 44-13. Sam Darnold didn't need to do much yesterday. He was only 14 for 18, so it was a very efficient day, but not a lot of passes. But 218 yards and two touchdowns, and one of those touchdowns was to Jackson Smith and Jigba, 96 yards and a touchdown, and just absolute domination by the Seahawks on against a terrible, terrible, terrible New Orleans Saints team. Then another ass-kicking came from this game, the Dallas Cowboys at the Chicago Bears. This was all Bears all day. As a matter of fact, I pretty much thought this game was over after the successful flea flicker that the Bears had. It was one of the ugliest flea flickers I've ever seen in my life. But of course, they completed it, and I mean, it was just all Bears all day. This Dallas Cowboys secondary was getting blown up. Once again, this is another game where I look at and go, sorry, y'all, don't miss Micah Parsons. This is not a game where I go, oh, gee, if we only had Micah Parsons, it would have been totally different. No, haven't said that in any of these three games. He doesn't play secondary, so, and yes, you could say, oh my God, the pass rush. Nah, this defense would still be getting blown up. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what everybody would say. Had we signed Micah Parsons to the deal he got in Green Bay, everybody would be cutting Jerry Jones down right now saying, oh, see, you don't pay a defensive player that much. Look at how bad their secondary is, because their secondary would still be trash at this point. And that's really been it. And I mean, that's what the Bears did. The Bears just went at this Cowboys secondary all fucking day, and they were successful in all fucking ways. And to keep it real, there was nothing positive to say about this Dallas Cowboys team. On the offensive side of the ball, they had some spark. They had some good plays. But it's just the defense was on the field. I mean, there was one drive that the Bears had in the third quarter where they literally had 19 plays. 19 plays in one drive. That's what you call just taking it over, absolutely just obliterating that defense and making sure that that offense has no shot at all of getting on the field. And even if they do get on the field, well, they got to do something. And they just weren't doing much of anything. Caleb Williams went 19 for 28, 298 yards, and four touchdowns. And it was just absolute, complete domination by the Chicago Bears against the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Then we had another crazy game between the Arizona Cardinals and the San Francisco 49ers. This was a battle all the way till the bitter end, in which the San Francisco 49ers were able to overcome some terrible play, but they were able to get this last drive down the field, set themselves up in field goal position, and able to walk it off 16-15. Mac Jones, 27 for 41, 284 yards and a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey only had 52 yards on the ground, but it was really just the Niners were able to make the big plays that they needed to in the end. Unfortunately for them, the bad news is Nick Bosa tore his ACL yesterday, and he is out for the rest of the season. So we'll see what happens there. The Niners have already, they're 3-0 with all the piled up injuries. I mean, Purdy missed two games now. George Kittle has missed two games now. They haven't had Brandon Ayuk in one game yet. Juwan James has missed a game, so now this just really piles up on the injuries, but at some point that is going to pile up on them. But hey, they're 3-0, and there they are. And then Sunday Night Football was an absolute garbage fest from the Kansas City Chiefs at the New York Giants. Both of these teams were trash. The Chiefs got the win 22-9. The only reason why the Chiefs got the win, though, is because the Giants are garbage. If the Chiefs were playing even a halfway decent team, they would not have got this win. This Chiefs team is garbage. There is no other word other than, even though Mahomes is making amazing plays, and that's pretty much what they're riding. Just, they get into like 3rd and 15 and he makes some magical play. That is all the Chiefs are living on this year. They have no big playmakers. They have no standout receivers. They have nothing going on in their ground attack. And their defense looked good last night, but they haven't looked good in their first two games. There is nothing good about this Kansas City Chiefs team. As a matter of fact, this first half, nobody wanted to win this game yesterday. Absolutely nobody wanted to win this game last night. It's just like I said, the Chiefs, since they have the experience, since they have Mahomes, the big playmaker, and their defense was able to make some big plays against a terrible New York Giants offense, they got the win. But they play the Baltimore Ravens next week. If they look like that on offense, they're going to get their asses kicked like 41-0. So, I definitely think this is the end of the Chiefs dynasty. Everybody's looking at it like, oh, they're going to get Rashee Rice back, and oh, they're going to get Xavier Worthy back. It's not even just that. Their play calling, they used to have those like really cool play calls where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe the Chiefs did that. They don't do that anymore. They are a very one-dimensional, like I said, they rely on Patrick Mahomes scrambling around, making the big magic Mahomes play, and that is not going to get you to a Super Bowl. That's not going to get you through this season, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs do not make the playoffs this year. Now, I know it's very, very, very early, and anything can change, and I mean, this team has been known. I mean, last year, they were not good on the offensive side of the ball, but they still had the spark. They still were making the big plays, and they could still, you know, I mean, like I said, there's tons of football left, but this offense is trash. It is absolute trash. They look terrible, and they're going to need to step it up if they want to even have a hope of competing in their division, because the Chargers, 3-0, look good, have already beat them. The Broncos, I wouldn't put them anywhere on the Chargers level, but they're going to play the Chiefs well. They've got a solid defense, and if it becomes like a shootout, I'm taking the Broncos in that one. And the Raiders, even though they're not a good team, they always play the Chiefs well. As a matter of fact, they have beat the Chiefs in Kansas City when the Chiefs were like riding high on a winning streak and the Raiders just sucked ass, but they were able to just play them well because it's a division battle. So I just think the Chiefs are going to have a really difficult time keeping pace with the Chargers. They're really basically going to have to hope that the Chargers have an extreme downfall at this point in time, because the Chiefs look absolutely dreadful. I don't think it's going to get better for them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep saying this. I'm not hoping for it, but if they got to rely on Mahomes to keep doing these things in every single game, at some point, Patrick Mahomes is going to get injured. And I wouldn't be shocked if at some point Mahomes gets injured this season and is done for the rest of the year. Now, turning to the Giants side of the ball, they looked atrocious. And everybody wants Jackson Dart, and there's probably going to be a good chance that Jackson Dart takes over at quarterback for Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson did not look good last night, but Jackson Dart wouldn't have looked good either. Their play calling is terrible. They're literally doubling Neighbors. That's why he didn't get any, barely got any looks last night, because everybody's covered. So there's going to be no change. Even if you do have Jackson Dart come in at quarterback, sorry, Giants fans, you're still going to suck. So it doesn't matter who you have at quarterback. Your team's trash. There's nothing good going on here. And I'm going to say it again. Brian Daboll is probably going to be the first coach fired this year. Don't be shocked if he is fired a month from now. Actually, don't be shocked if he's fired in like 2 motherfucking weeks. Because you really take a look at it. Let's just say that, because he was not committed to Russell Wilson this morning in his press conference, not committed at all to Russell Wilson. He even said, we're reevaluating things. So let's just say Jackson Dart starts this weekend. I don't know who the Giants are playing this weekend, but let's say he starts this weekend and they get blown out again. Then he starts next weekend. They get blown out again. I'm sorry. I kind of look at it like Daboll is probably gone here in the next couple of weeks. So look out for that. All right, so let's move on to Monday Night Football. We have us a doozy of a matchup. It is the Detroit Lions at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 5.5-point favorite. Detroit got right back on track last week. Baltimore has been on track all season this so far, even in their loss. To me, Baltimore is easily the best team in the league, most complete team in the league. They are stacked at every single position, and I just kind of feel as the season wears on, this team's going to get better, this team's going to get stronger, and they're going to look real good. I feel like the same thing about Detroit as well, but Detroit, I still have questions about them, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I kind of feel like this is going to be an offensive shootout tonight, even though the Ravens have a very stout defense. They're going to be missing a couple of guys due to injury. So I think it's going to be an offensive shootout. And in that case, I'm always taking Lamar Jackson. I'm always taking Derrick Henry. Those are two of the top guys at their positions. And while the Detroit Lions are no slouch team, I've got the Baltimore Ravens winning this one 31-27. In my week 3 head-to-head matchup between Simon Ruvalcaba, we both had a good week. I went 11-4. He went 12-3, so he did gain a game up on me. So he's now 2 games ahead of me, and we both have Baltimore. Like I said, I've got Baltimore winning 31-27. Simon has Baltimore winning 27-20. All right, moving on to baseball and the top 10 MLB power rankings this week. This is going to be the last MLB power rankings of the season, because next week begins one of the best times of year, the baseball playoffs. So this is it, guys. Last top 10 MLB power rankings of the season. So let's get right into it. Beginning with number 1 remains the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 95-61. They are closing in on 100 wins. They could end up with 100 wins on the season. 6-4 in their last 10 games. And not only, you know, they clinched the playoff spot last week. Well, guess what? They clinched the division this past week. So they are now the NL Central crown winners. And they just await to see what happens in these playoffs. Then at number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 92-64. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games, and they just keep getting stronger. They also clinched their division this week. You know, they clinched the playoff spot last week, but they are poised, primed, and ready for a playoff run, and they just clinched their division and are ready to head on into next week. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 90-66. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They just clinched a playoff spot. They did not clinch the division just yet, but they're almost there. They've got to go down the stretch this week. I mean, there is a battle between them, the Yankees, and the Red Sox. So this American League East is going to be a battle probably till the last game of the season. But right now, Toronto's got it on lock, and they did clinch a playoff spot. So it doesn't matter whether they win the division or not. They are in. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings is the New York Yankees. Overall record of 88-68, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. Offensively, zero issues. With the pitching, man, Freed and Rodon, I feel like are just getting stronger. It's crazy to me, because imagine if Gerrit Cole was in, you know, Gerrit Cole hasn't played all season because he had the Tommy John injury to start the season. So, just imagine the depth of this starting pitching if they had Cole, Fried and Rodon, because Fried and Rodon are pitching out of their mind. That's why I have the Yankees ranked so high, because I'm going to keep it real, y'all. I think if I'm just picking today, I'm probably picking the Yankees to represent the American League in the World Series, just because I think they have so much depth. And even though their defense is a problem, it could be that could be what hinders them in the World Series. But as far as getting to the World Series, I think this is the hottest team in the American League. And they've got the depth, they've got the offense, and they have the starting pitching. Because what most people do not realize, everybody forgets it during the regular season. But in the postseason, if you've got the hottest starting pitching, you usually are who ends up winning the World Series. But we'll see what happens. But the New York Yankees, they're stacked right now, and I wouldn't be shocked if they actually take over the American League East. But even if they just get in as a wild card, you really got to watch out for the Yankees. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 88-68. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They clinched a playoff spot themselves, so they just sit there and wait to see what happens. They've kind of fallen off offensively, which is kind of weird because they were the hottest offensive team. But the last month of baseball has been very weird from the Cubs, and that's not what you like to see headed into the playoffs. But they did clinch a playoff spot, so it doesn't matter. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 88-68. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They just clinched a playoff spot this past week. They have not clinched their division just yet, but they are almost there. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Seattle Mariners, overall record of 87-69. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they have overtaken the Houston Astros in the American League West. And if they keep playing this way, it's going to be very easy for them to keep it moving, because Houston not playing well at all right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Detroit Tigers, 85-71 in the regular season, but 1-9 in their last 10 games. Talk about slump. I mean, you come into the playoffs like this, don't be shocked that Detroit's 1-done. You cannot play baseball like this headed into the playoffs. I mean, they're stacked. I really like this team. They were my team in the American League for the World Series, but I can't really ride with them right now because they are just not playing good baseball. Things can change. Things can turn around. But 1-9 in the last week of baseball, I don't know. They're going to need a nice little run here for me to actually believe in them, depending on who they play and face off against. And hey, they almost have lost their grip on the American League Central. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 84-72. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. And this is the team that's almost ready to take over the Detroit Tigers for the American League Central. They swept their ass last week. And Cleveland just keeps rolling. Cleveland does this, it feels like, every single year. You know, they have a mediocre regular season. And then all of a sudden, the last month of baseball, boom, here they are. Headed into the playoffs, full steam ahead, and don't be shocked if you see them in the ALCS, because that's just kind of how the Cleveland Guardians do. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 85-71. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games, and it's just they're keeping pace with the Dodgers, but you know, we'll see what happens with them. I don't think they're going to be able to overtake the Dodgers for the division, but they're still keeping pace. They're still locked in for a wild card spot, and I still think they're going to be a force to reckon with once the playoffs roll around. So how is the playoffs looking now that we've got 1 week left of baseball? So the American League is looking like this. The American League East, the Toronto Blue Jays currently hold a 2-game lead over the New York Yankees. So this is going to be a battle for the American League East all the way till the bitter end. American League Central, right now the Detroit Tigers only have a 1-game lead over the Guardians, and I will not be shocked if the Guardians take over and actually win this division, because they have been playing much better baseball than the Detroit Tigers. And the Tigers, there's really nothing that they're really trying to overcome. There isn't some debilitating injury that they're trying to overcome. They're not like... It's just they're not playing good baseball, and the Guardians are, and I would not be shocked if the Guardians end up winning the Central when it's all said and done. And then the American League West right now, the Seattle Mariners have a 3-game lead over the Houston Astros, where Yordan Alvarez back on the injured list. And this Astros team is just playing terrible baseball down the stretch. And they have a shot of not even making the playoffs at this point, because the wild card spots right now, top three spots being held down by the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the Cleveland Guardians, with the Houston Astros on the outside looking in. Texas Rangers, 5 games out, so maybe they can make a little run, but the Rangers have not been good at all. So it's basically the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Guardians, and the Astros, if they have a good week. But, you know, I take a look at it, it's like I don't see Detroit falling that far out. And then Cleveland, they're super hot right now. And then the Yankees and Boston are too. So and Houston's just battling through these injuries, and they just have not got their footing at all. So don't be shocked if the Houston Astros actually miss out, not only on the division, but on that last wild card spot too. And then the National League playoff spots are looking like this right now. Of course, the National League East, won by the Philadelphia Phillies. National League Central, won by the Milwaukee Brewers. So the National League West is the only one up for grabs right now. The Los Angeles Dodgers currently hold a 3-game lead over the San Diego Padres. I kind of feel like that's what it's going to be until the end. I mean, both of these teams, they've pretty much had a similar trajectory. It kind of feels like every time the Dodgers get on a winning streak, the Padres get on one. Then when the Dodgers are slumping, Padres are slumping too. So we'll see what happens there, but I kind of feel like the Dodgers are going to go ahead and walk away with that division. And right now, the wild card spots, the Chicago Cubs, they have clinched a wild card spot, so they 100% have a wild card spot. So there's only 2 wild card spots up for grabs. Right now, that's held down by the San Diego Padres and the Cincinnati Reds, who just snuck in yesterday. And right now, on the outside looking in, we have the New York Mets, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the San Francisco Giants. I don't really see the Diamondbacks or Giants making a push. And the New York Mets have just been garbage the last month and a half. So I wouldn't be shocked if they just, boom, they're just done, because I don't know what's going on with this team. I mean, the Reds are not an amazing team, but they're playing better than the Mets. That's all I got to say. So that's how we're looking right now, heading into the last week of baseball, and we will see where we're at next week, because the wild card kicks off, and it's baseball playoffs, one of my favorite times of the year. All right, y'all, enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.